Hi, this is Roy Jones with Man Talk Radio Podcast. Our mission is to break down the walls of race and denomination. Your chosen Truth Radio broadcast will be starting in just a few seconds. Thank you.
This is the Truth Network. Once a world champion wrestler, now a champion for Christ. Once the Russian nightmare, now the devil's worst nightmare. And your tag team partner, Nikita Koloff. It's time to man up.
Welcome back. It's time to man up with a special edition today. Valentine's Day. It is said Valentine's Day is for lovers. Well, is it? I don't know. Let's dig deeper into that today. So today on the show, let's talk about Valentine's Day. Across the United States and in other places around the world, candy, flowers, gifts are exchanged between loved ones, all in the name of Saint Valentine. Well, a few questions just to test your knowledge. See, let's see how knowledgeable you are regarding Saint Valentine's Day. Question number one. Approximately how much will be spent in America for Valentine's Day? Give you a second to think about that. What would you guess? What would you guess how much money will be spent in America? Now, this is just in America on Valentine's Day. Planned Valentine's Day sales in the United States. You ready for this? Is expected. Well, I saw these numbers. I was like, really? Like, there's no way. I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, no, maybe there is a way, I guess. I don't know. But ready? I can't even get this out. The expected sale is approximately to reach 27.4 billion dollars in the United States. Like, for real? 27.4 billion. That's with a B. A billion dollars in the U.S. Question number two. Approximately how many cards are sent each year on Valentine's Day? What would you guess? Give you a second to think about that. Are you ready? How about 145 million Valentine's cards are sent out each year in the U.S.? Now, I'm still kind of the traditional card guy, right? I mean, I know there's a lot of electronic stuff that's done nowadays, electronic cards and you know, all this technology, but I'm old school, right? I grew up old school. I was an old school wrestler, and I guess I'm old school when it comes to this. Whether it's Valentine's cards, birthday cards, Christmas cards, or whatever other card you can think of, I just like to send out cards. So I can kind of see that 145 million. Valentine's cards sent out each year. Now, this is excluding, by the way, packaged kids' Valentine's for classroom exchanges. Now, that's probably going to look different going forward into the future as well. If these kids can't, I guess they're going to have to send out electronics Valentines to their classmates because they're not allowed in school, right? Well, hopefully they'll get back in school full time one day and they can celebrate some of these traditions, like the exchanging of Valentines in the classroom, right? But according to estimates by the U.S. Greeting Card Association, second only to what holiday would you guess? Well, if you guessed Christmas, you would be right. 1,500 types of Valentine's Day greeting cards were being offered by Hallmark. There's a plug for Hallmark there. Question number, where are we on? Three? Question number three. How much, on average, you know, these are just averages here, right? These numbers might be plus or minus, a little higher or a little bit lower, but how much, on average, is spent by an individual? What would you guess? I'm trying to think, like, I have four, like, daughters and grandchildren now, and I have no idea how much, you know, I might spend in some of these different holidays, and I don't know that I want to add it up or no, but a survey by the National Retail Federation shows Americans will spend an average, I don't know how they come up with these surveys, but they did, will spend on average $161.96 each to lavish their loved ones. How do you like that? Get your wallets out, men. Start lavishing your loved ones. $161.96 each. Now, that's on average, right? Our next question. Want to guess what the number one gift is? Now, this is not cards. This is something other than a card. What would you guess is the number one gift given on St. Valentine's Day? Got that answer in your head? Well, if you guessed flowers, you would be right. You would be right. Flowers are the most popular Valentine's Day gift. Get this, costing about an average of $73 per order. Most men opt for what kind of flowers? Come on. I'll give you a hint. They're usually red. Sometimes they might be white or perhaps pink. But if you guessed roses, you would be right. And it is in the color of red or white or soft pink. Here you go. Here's another one. Let me ask you this. Just how much chocolate do Americans buy every year for Valentine's Day? Okay, come on, like for real, right? How much chocolate? Now, I haven't met a woman yet that doesn't love chocolate. I'm sure one day I might. Maybe I will. I know all my daughters love chocolate, and my grandkids, my granddaughters, not to mention my grandsons. But how much chocolate do the average Americans buy every year for Valentine's Day? Turns out, 58 million pounds of chocolate are purchased in the 7 days leading up to February 14th. 58 million pounds. That's a lot of chocolate. That's a lot of, you better hit the treadmill an extra day or two if you're going to even come close to eating. No. But chocolate. What? Next question. What's the most popular candy? Think about that for a moment. What's the most popular candy? I hope I'm helping somebody out here. Guys, I hope I'm helping you out here to win over that loved one on Valentine's Day. Ready? Heart-shaped boxes of chocolate are the most popular Valentine's candy in America, with pink and red M&Ms not far behind. Would you have thought of that? Pink and red M&Ms. But heart-shaped boxes of chocolate are the most popular Valentine's candy in America. There are even some states, ready for this? There are some states that look forward to Cupid corn. How about that? That must be like in Nebraska, I'm thinking. The Cornhusker state of Nebraska. Oh, only in the Midwest, right? Will they have Cupid corn, a seasonal take on the traditional candy corn. Well, who is this mysterious saint that we celebrate every February 14th. And where did these traditions come from? You ever thought about that? Maybe you don't even care about that, but hopefully today you find the show educational and enjoyable. Well, the history of Valentine's Day, it's a little, truthfully, it's a little sketchy. I mean, there's some different stories in my research of Valentine's Day, Saint Valentine, to be exact, that the story of the patron saint, let me just say it this way, it's shrouded in a bit of mystery. Let's just say that. It's shrouded in a bit of mystery. But you ever thought about that, though? I mean, you're like, why are we celebrating this dude, you know, this Saint Valentine dude? And was he even real? Or how'd all this marketing come about, right? But in my research, we do know that February has long been celebrated as a month of romance. Maybe you didn't know that, probably didn't know that, right? But February, for a long, long time, has been celebrated as a month of romance. And St. Valentine Day, as we know it today, contains vestiges of both Christian and ancient Roman tradition. But who, more specifically, was the St. Valentine guy? Who and how did he become associated with this ancient rite? How? You know what? I'm going to leave you hanging on that. I'll be right back. Hang tight just for a moment.
If you feel you're receiving value from this show, it's time to man up. And you'd like to support the show along with Koloff for Christ Ministries, go to koloff.org, koloff.org, and make a donation of any amount. A note, you want my latest book, and you'll receive a personalized copy of Nikita, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption.
Welcome back to It's Time to Man Up, and I'm just reminded, I'm reminded of if February is the month of romance, then I guess October is the month of birthdays. It seems like, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Let's see. Let's do the math there. You can tell I'm not a mathematician, right? you get that. You got that, right? I am not a mathematician. I'm thinking, okay. Yeah, 9 months, October. Yeah, okay. In fact, I'm trying to think, do I have any children born in October? No, I'll have to think about that. I'll get back to you on that. Okay, let's search the internet and see what we can find about this St. Valentine dude, right? And you can find, now there are plenty of stories out there about him or about them. You're like, wait a minute, what exactly are you talking? What do you mean, him, them? Well, if you search the internet, try and do a little homework here, you find out that St. Valentine, there's different stories out there, right? Remember I said it's a little shrouded about who this dude really was? One of the St. Valentines was supposedly a Roman priest who performed secret weddings against the wishes of the authorities in the 3rd century. So this is going all the way back to the 3rd century. And apparently, apparently they weren't all that secret, because apparently word got out and the dude got imprisoned. But he was imprisoned in the home of a noble. And in this noble, he apparently healed his captor's blind daughter, causing the whole household, as the story goes, to convert to Christianity, but also sealing his fate. So before being tortured on February 14th, he sent the girl a note, it is said, signed, Your Valentine. So that's one fabled story, right? Then there's the English poet Geoffrey Chaucer. who may have invented Valentine's Day. How did this English poet perhaps invent Valentine's Day? Well, the medieval English poet often took liberties with history, placing his poetic characters into fictitious historical context that he represented as real. Now, no record exists of romantic celebrations on Valentine's Day prior to a poem Chaucer, I think that's how you say it, wrote around 1375. Again, English wasn't my major, nor was math. Can you tell that about the Russian nightmare? Come on. But I excelled at sports, though. Straight A's all the way. So, 1375, in his work, Parliament of Foils, and I think that's how you say that, bear with me here, he links a tradition of courtly love with the celebration of St. Valentine's Feast Day, an association that didn't exist until after his poem received widespread attention, so it is said. So, one could conclude that the Valentine's Day focuses on what then? Romance and love. Love, love, love. The day of love. The celebration of love. Well, let me transition here to examine what perhaps the Bible says about romance and about love. And maybe this will give all of us a little bit different perspective on Valentine's Day. A lot, in fact, the Bible has a lot to say. In fact, I would say that the Bible in and of itself is a love story. I mean, from start to finish, the love of God the Creator for His creation, for all of His creation, not just mankind, but just all of His creation. I mean, when you read, just open up the Bible and read Genesis, and it's like, day one, He made this, and He said, it is good. And day two, He made that, and He said, it is good. And then He made mankind and said, it is good. And then he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so He put Adam to sleep and took out a rib and created woman and a helpmate. And thus blossomed the first love affair between Adam and Eve. And fast forward all these years later, and we're still trying to wrap our head around this whole love thing. But the Bible is, in fact, a love story. And I want to share with you today just a few examples of what the Bible says about love. Now, a very well-known chapter in the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In fact, it's kind of been dubbed the love chapter. And here's what it says. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had a great gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Boy, we need that today, don't we? Truth. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and Special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Three things, it concludes, will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, you guessed it, love. The Song of Solomon, or some call it the Song of Songs, is considered the love book, or you might even say the love book. I mean, the most lyric, poetic, rich symbolism and romantic book in the Bible, if you've never read it. In fact, some have said, or some have deemed it an allegory, giving us a picture of three things: God's love for Israel, Jesus's love for his church, and the king's love for his bride. One example of the Song of Solomon in chapter 4, verse 10 says, "How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your perfume than any spice." In chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "My lover is mine, and I am his." A portion of Scripture in 1 John chapter 4, starting verse 7, says this: "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." How many times have you heard that? God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us first and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Just some of what the Bible has to say about love. On this Valentine's weekend, when so many others will be celebrating love, handing out candy and cards and gifts, and taking family and friends to dinner, and loved ones and spouses, and that, you might say, significant other, that fiance or that boyfriend or that girlfriend. Can I remind you of our first love? And that's the love of Jesus. As much as we love others, can I challenge you to make sure you have a relationship with him and you've established a love for him? And then once you've established that relationship, can I challenge you on this Valentine weekend? Can I challenge you to be determined to grow that love every single day? Don't take your love for God for granted. Don't take your love for Jesus for granted. Oh, I prayed a prayer, I gave my life to Jesus one day, you know, No, it's a relationship that you build upon every single day. In fact, this is Valentine weekend, but what have you made your love for him? What if every day was Valentine's Day? Because you approached your love for him that way, like you are going to do this weekend for others. So I just want to challenge you with that. I just want to do this special show today for Valentine's. And But more than anything, conclude this show by challenging you. First and foremost, make sure you've got a personal relationship with Jesus, that you love God, and that by loving Him and growing that intimate, passionate relationship with God is then going to guess who benefits from that? You know who benefits from that? If you work on that vertical relationship with your creator of the universe, your love relationship with Jesus, guess who benefits from that? Everybody else around you, spouses, children, co-workers, strangers you might come across who can experience the love that's inside of you, that love for Jesus. So I hope you have a blessed Valentine weekend, but more than anything, surrender your life to Jesus and fall in love with Him more than anyone else. That's the first commandment. Thanks for tuning in to It's Time to Man Up. We'll see you next week.
Men, I would like to challenge each of you to consider spending 5 days with Lex Luger and I at Man Camp, pursuing the heart of God. Ladies, if you're listening, we'll send your men home better equipped to be men of God, godly husbands, and godly fathers. If that appeals to you, give them your blessing and encourage them to sign up today at mancamp.info. Pastors, if you would like to bring Koloff for Christ Ministries and Man Up Conference to your community, go to koloff.org and email me. Remember this, it's time to man up.
This is the Truth Network.
One of our generous sponsors here at the Truth Network has come under fire. Fire from the enemy. Fire for standing up for family values. Actually, one of the biggest supporters of the movie Unplanned that talked about the horrors of abortion. Yes, it's Mike Lindell. You've heard me talk about his pillows for a long, long time, and no doubt big business is responding to Mike Lindell and all this generosity for causes for the kingdom by trying to shut down his business. You can't buy his pillows at Kohl's anymore. You can't get them on the Amazon, or you can't get them at Costco. They're attempting to close his business because he stood up for kingdom values. What a chance to respond, especially if you need a pillow. Oh, I've had mine now for years and years and years and still fluffs up as wonderful as ever. Queen-size pillows are just $29.98. Be sure and use the promo code TRUTH. Or call 1-800-944-5396. That's 1-800-944-5396. Use the promo code TRUTH for values on any MyPillow product to support truth.